we deserve to have our health on autopilot. Building new habits is honestly one of the most powerful things and tools that you can do for your health. How do we make those habits stick long term? When the habit and your why behind the habit is emotional, habits feel very meaningful and not forced. These are small, small shifts that don't feel so overwhelming where you can't do it. And the good thing about small habits and compounding small habits is that it creates momentum. It could be the year that you just get serious about slowing down or get serious about committing to yourself and creating a better environment. Most resolutions do not fail because people are lazy or unmotivated or they don't have willpower. They fail because hello, friends. Welcome back to Cancer Proof Living. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Michelle, an 8-year non-Hodgkin's cancer survivor, mom, and integrative nutrition health coach. After cancer, I wanted more than just survival, so I built the healing roadmap that I couldn't find. Now I guide survivors and cancer-conscious humans to detox, rebuild, and thrive. Today's solo episode is the first episode of the new year, and I'm talking about new beginnings, creating resolutions without pressure and overwhelm, and how to make habits actually stick for the new year. I give you tangible tools that truly help you figure out your goals and how to implement them so you can put your health on autopilot this year. So grab a pen and paper. We're about to get into it. And I think you guys are really going to love the overall message of this episode. Drop a comment below on YouTube and tell me what you're focusing on for this new year. I would love to create episodes that best support you. Happy 2026, everyone. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the podcast. Happy 2026. This is the first episode of the new year. And I couldn't be more excited to share some thoughts and some wisdom around resolutions in January and the overwhelm that we can feel, but also the reality of what a new year means. And that's exactly what this episode is going to be, right? As we step into a new year, especially January, the first month of the new year, there's always this mix of excitement and pressure. We're hearing everywhere, new beginnings, fresh starts, motivation, right? But also this underlying feeling that we're supposed to just have it all figured out. This is a reminder to you. You do not have to have it all figured out the first week of the first month of the new year, okay? That's bullshit. But even before we talk about resolutions and goals and habits and that kind of thing, I want to reframe something for you, okay? Building new habits is honestly one of the most powerful things and tools that you can do for your health. Not because habits make you better, right? They do, but because they can create a foundation. And when the foundation is supportive, your health can shift dramatically in energy, in your digestion, in weight, in inflammation, in confidence. All of that can happen in just a few weeks. So the power of creating good quality, attainable habits is seriously powerful. Okay. That is no joke. However, I do want to say you don't need a complete and total life overhaul. You don't need perfection. You need a few habits that support your body consistently. Consistency is truly the key. Now, before we kind of like dig into it, I will say this. If you're a cancer survivor listening to this episode, I'm going to share something with you. I remember I'm 8 years cancer free, and I remember at least the first few years, 3 to 4 years. I remember sitting back on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day and listening to my friends. My friends would be planning trips that they want to take that next year. They'd be planning classes that they want to do or new workouts they want to try and, you know, all of the things. And I remember just thinking, wow, like they're so lucky because they don't know what it feels like to go through a cancer diagnosis or a major health trauma, and they just assume they get a new year. And how lucky, like what an amazing feeling. Something I think that really gets torn away from us at the end of the day once we've gone through cancer is this like sense of peace, right? I remember always thinking, well, I have scans coming up in the new year. Once I get through those scans, I'll know I'm okay, and then I can celebrate the new year. or gosh, you know, I just had scans done. Yes, I'm cancer free, but like, what if the cancer comes back this year and then I have to go through chemo and then I have to do this or that? And your mind starts to spiral and you just think, gosh, do I have the ability to plan the way other people do? Or am I just living from scan to scan or moment to moment and trying to preserve that peace? Everything is a season. I was in that season for a few years. So if you are in that season and you're going through that and having those feelings and those thoughts right now, I just want you to know that's okay. And it's totally normal. When you go through trauma and have gone through such a traumatic time, it's so hard not to think that way. But I do encourage you to make a vision board or at least create a list of things that brings you joy that you can start sprinkling in throughout your calendar to keep you moving forward, to keep you putting one foot in front of the other, and to not allow cancer to steal your present and your future, right? So I just wanted to say that just in case you're going through that, you're not alone and it's totally okay. Okay, so let's talk about this pressure of resolutions, right? And why a lot of resolutions don't stick. So none of us make those mistakes. And we can really use the new year in the best way possible for opportunity, for love, for growth, and to really support ourselves in the best way. Most resolutions do not fail because people are lazy or unmotivated or they don't have willpower. They fail because they're built on excitement, not on systems. Excitement can take over, right? Oh yeah, I want to do that. I want to lose weight. And yeah, I want to work out. And oh, I want to travel to this new place. And sure, I would love to make this in my business, right? We get excited and we put all of these resolutions down and we kind of sometimes almost set ourselves up to fail because we're not building the system around those goals to truly support them. And they're often too big, too rigid, and even too fast, right? We expect instant gratification, instant results. And a lot of times our resolutions or our goals are really focused on outcomes, like how much weight can I lose, what the productivity is, or what I can control rather than behaviors and what our behaviors are doing. And they completely ignore biology, right? When we are setting resolutions or goals, we are not thinking about stress and blood sugar and burnout and nervous system regulation. That's the biology of what's actually going on in our body. And if you've ever felt like you've started something, a new diet or a new routine, and you're like, damn, why can't I stick to this? Why is it seems so easy for other people and not for me? And I'm having a really hard time sticking to this. It's not because you're not strong enough. It's not because you're not disciplined enough. It's not a discipline problem. It's usually a support problem and how you're building those systems around you long term. So let's talk about what resolutions actually mean. Let's break it down in a little bit more of a digestible way, okay? Resolutions aren't and they should not be about like fixing yourself, right? They're not about punishing your body or becoming a totally new person overnight. We don't wake up on January 1st or 2nd and think, my gosh, I'm this new person already. It's a new year and I feel so different and fantastic. That's just not reality. At their core, resolutions are really about deciding how you want to feel, how you want to feel day by day, how you want to feel in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, how you want to feel this time next year at the end of the year, how you want to live, what your day-to-day looks like, what your travel schedule looks like, and what your body actually needs support with. Real change happens when your body feels supported enough to maintain it. Change is hard enough. Change is one of the hardest things that human beings have to do or can do. Some of us can change a lot more easily than others. Some people have to be so uncomfortable in their current reality to be able to change, meaning in order to change jobs, they have to be so absolutely miserable for like 5 years, just dreading going to work and hating everything and just so miserable in order to make that leap into a different job or a different company. So some people have a harder time with it. And I feel like January and resolutions in a new year, it's all about change. But here's something that I want to give you permission around. you do not need to have your entire year figured out in January. January does not get to decide everything. Just because it's January doesn't mean that this grand plan that you all of a sudden have thought of and put in place needs to happen. January doesn't have to be about committing. It can also be about observing, right? Taking a step back. After all, we just came off the holidays. We're with friends, we're with family, we're socializing, we're taking time off. Maybe some of us had time to reflect back on the year and see how it was, what worked, what didn't work. But most of us maybe weren't. So it's okay to walk into the new year not knowing what those goals are, not knowing what you want your new year to look like, but really stepping back and giving yourself time to observe. And when I say observe, I mean to ask yourself questions and to observe your own behavior. What feels really hard right now? What does my body need? Where do I feel depleted? What's lacking, right? What habits feel supportive and which ones feel forced, right? Sometimes we hear about our other friends or family's resolutions. We're like, yeah, that sounds great. I really want to try going dairy-free too. I really want to try lowering inflammation. But if it feels forced, if it's not true to you and what you're feeling, it's never going to work. It's never going to stick. And then you feel like shit because you're giving up on resolutions like 2 weeks into January, right? So let's think about this in such a different way. January can be about awareness and observation. February and March can be about refinement. Spring can be about momentum. You have time to figure this out. You are not behind. The most important thing is to create goals and habits and a foundation for yourself that sticks, not just to have something in place because it's January, right? You're allowed to gather information before you decide where you really want to put your focus. Because I know that wherever you put your focus, you're going to try so darn hard to get there and to make it happen. So I'm going to teach you a little bit about how habits actually stick long term, how we can set you up for success in the new year once your observation period is over. Or maybe you already know what you want to do. You're like, I already thought about this. I know exactly the five or two or one thing that I want to implement this year. I'm good to go, but I want it to stick. Or sometimes people are afraid to start because they're like, I want to start, but I know it's not going to stick. I know it's not going to last. And then I'm going to feel like shit. And then I'm setting myself up to fail. That's okay if that's you. We start small, okay? We start intentionally. So how do we make those habits stick long term? This is where I want to get really, really practical. And this is stuff that I teach in my coaching program all the time too, because we're constantly rebuilding that foundation. We're designing new habits. We're figuring out what works. I'm teaching and coaching people constantly on how to integrate good, healthy habits into your life so your health is just on autopilot. Like, think about it this way. In a year, how amazing would it be if you woke up and you grabbed some water, you had a good breakfast, you stepped outside for a minute, then you had a cup of coffee. You had already like four things in place that really set you up for success, set your hormones up for success, lowered inflammation, all within the first hour of waking up. Not because you tried really hard every day of last year, but because you built a system in your lifestyle to support these changes and to make them stick. We deserve to have our health on autopilot. The best part about that is like figuring out what works, implementing it in your lifestyle, and then you never have to think about it again because it's just like second nature. And I know that you know what I'm talking about because everybody does something when you first wake up. You either go and hit the coffee machine for your coffee to brew, or you brush your teeth, or you stretch in bed, or you go wake up your kids, or you pet your dog. We all have our own routines, whether they're the best routines or the healthiest routines, whatever, it doesn't matter. But just think about that. We're so routine-oriented, and we do things without thinking about it. What would life look like if you redid those things and replaced them with healthy choices so it just supports your health and therefore helps you achieve your long-term goals? It would be amazing. That's what putting your health on autopilot really means. Okay, so first and foremost, to make habits stick, we want to tie our habits to identity and not motivation. Motivation fades, but identity lasts, right? So what do I mean by that? We can be motivated to work out 3 days a week, right? And then maybe by the second or third week, we're getting tired and it's like, what's the point? Your motivation starts to sludge off and you're just like, not in it, right? And then you feel bad about yourself. When we tie something to our identity, it means something different and it reaches us to our core. For example, right? Instead of saying, I'm really trying to eat better, right? Shift that thought to, I'm someone who wants to support my health daily. That you are someone that wants to support your health daily. That's a great identity shift. That's a great perspective. Not just like, I'm trying to eat better. I'm trying to eat healthy every single day. No, like, who am I? I'm somebody that really cares about my health. I really want to make the change this year. I really want to bring my A1C down. I really want to balance my blood sugar. You know, shifting to saying, no, I'm someone that really cares about my health and really cares about my body. That connects you to that goal in such a different way. And ask yourself, who do I want to be? Not just what do I want to do, but who do I want to be? Who do I want to be today? Who do I want to be in a year? Really think about it. It's something that you can think about for a couple of days. It's something that you can journal on, that you really want to put that in perspective, because who you want to be, that helps us make choices to become that person. And that's how we turn into that person. Okay. Secondly, I want you to clarify your why around building habits. Okay. Why these goals? What is your why at the end of the day? What's the driving force? Not because like your friend wants a workout buddy or because, you know, you want to just eat better and just cut gluten out, right? Think about your why. Those surface level goals, they absolutely do not last. They do not last. By the time February rolls around, they're gone. And if your goal is weight loss, right? That's a lot of people's goals in January. Ask why. Why do I want to lose weight? To feel better in my own skin, to build my confidence, to gain more energy so I can go out, so I can try new activities, so I can play with my kids, so I can travel more. Do I want to feel safe in my body again? Do I want to build that trust with my body? Like, why do we want to lose weight? Do we want to prevent cancer? Do we want to prevent disease? Do you want to be in the best shape of your life for a new decade or a new year? Like, what is the why behind it? And I encourage you to take that why and write it down somewhere. I tell clients all the time, put it on a post-it, put it on your mirror, put it in your closet where you're like changing your clothes every day. We're always looking somewhere, right? Why not look to positive affirmations? Why not look and remember our why at the end of the day? Because it keeps us motivated and it connects us in such a deep way. When the habit and your why behind the habit is emotional, habits feel very meaningful and not forced. Okay. Okay. Number three, let's start small. And when I say small, I mean smaller than you think and very, very small when it comes to goals. Big goals fail when they're so overwhelming and so heavy and feel so unattainable. They may sound good in the moment when you're telling people like, oh, did you make a resolution? Yeah, you know, I'm gonna cook at home every single day this week or every single day this year. I really want to cook at home. That sounds great. It sounds super great in theory. But the reality is that's a really big goal to cook at home every single day for this year. That's great, but it feels like a very big goal, especially if you're someone coming from a place where you're eating out three times a week or you travel for work, so it's really hard not to eat out, or you're going on date nights every other weekend or whatever the case is. Big goals fail. Small habits compound together, right? That is key. Small habits compound. And the more small habits that we have, it just starts to rebuild that foundation. So what do I mean by small habits? This could look like a 5 to 10 minute walk every day. It could also look like a 5 to 10 minute walk 3 times a week. It could look like weightlifting for 10 to 15 minutes once a week, twice a week, whatever fits your time. It could mean, I'm just going to have some extra protein at breakfast to stabilize my blood sugar. I really want to increase protein, but I'm really just going to start with breakfast and see how it goes. It could also just mean water before coffee. That's it. I'm just going to wake up and drink some water, and then I'm going to have my coffee. These are small, small shifts that don't feel so overwhelming where you can't do it. And the good thing about small habits and compounding small habits is that it creates momentum. And momentum comes from success, not intensity. You feel so proud of yourself when you are like, wow, I actually did that for the last 3 days. I've never done it before. I'm like really proud of myself to stick with that for 3 days. So starting really small with a habit that you know you can keep up with, it's not the easy way out. It's the building blocks for everything. Momentum is key. Once we start that momentum, our motivation skyrockets. And I swear to God, like give me a few weeks and I promise you that like we can put so many good habits in place. And then after a few weeks, it becomes just like second nature. And then you really get to feel the benefits in your body. And then you become addicted to feeling good. You're like, well, I'm not going to stop this. I feel so good now. Perfect example. I know for me, like two and a half years ago, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's after my second daughter. And I started seeing a functional medicine doctor. And he's like, I want you to do like a 6-week break, a reset. I don't want you to drink alcohol, no caffeine, no gluten, no dairy, no soy, no corn, no peanuts, no seed oils, like nothing. And I was like, at the time, I was like, oh, this sounds intense. And at the time, I was also drinking coffee every day. So like the caffeine part really bothered, like really made me feel nervous, as well as the dairy part, because I was still eating dairy at the time. So we did it for 6 weeks. The first 2 weeks were absolutely horrible, at least for me, for caffeine withdrawals. I was having just really intense headaches. I just felt like shit. It was so hard and it was so horrible. Once I got to the third week and the fourth week, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel amazing. I can wake up and not have coffee. Like that has never happened to me in my entire life. And I remember feeling like, wow, not only did I feel proud of myself, and that's a hefty thing, but I knew this is just for a short period of time. I could always go back to drinking coffee. It's just for a reset. And it felt so good. And I was like, wow, I have two kids. And I had two really, really young kids at the time where I was like, I can't believe I'm not depending on coffee for energy when I wake up. And so when it got to like the fourth and fifth week and he was like, yeah, you can go back to it and blah, 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 I just didn't. And I still haven't. I haven't had coffee in like 2.5 years. Not because I'm being restrictive or strict or anything like that, but simply because I felt so good not being dependent on it. And I feel so good in my own skin not having it. Like, what's the point of going back? And then that's how momentum starts. I'm like, no, I'm choosing better for myself. I don't think there's anything wrong with caffeine. I don't think there's anything wrong with coffee. I think coffee can be a great antioxidant. It's just something that I chose to do without because of how it made me feel. I felt so much better. So momentum comes from success, not doing something so intense or so big. The smallest thing can make us feel good. And this is also a good one for anybody out there that loves a to-do list and like checking a box or crossing something off a to-do list or highlighting something off of a to-do list. If you get pleasure and satisfaction in that, then you will thrive off making small goals because you get to check this box of something so small that is changing your health and making you feel good. So it's a really good tip. Okay, number 4 is to use habit stacking. This is something I teach in my coaching program. I use with every single one of my clients. It's absolutely successful for making habits stick, okay? You basically attach new habits to things that you already do. For example, okay, you brush your teeth every morning, where after I brush my teeth, I'm going to take my supplements. Or my coffee's brewing, I'm going to do a few quick stretches to really support my body. Or my tea kettle is warming up. I'm going to write 3 things I'm grateful for every time that tea kettle warms up. I'm going to boil a few eggs. Well, while I sit there and boil the eggs, maybe instead of watching the news or scrolling on social media, I'm going to just jot down 3 things I'm grateful for. I'm going to send a text to a friend and make them feel good in the morning. When you are climbing in bed at the end of the night, put some lotion on your hands and I'm going to write in my journal and debrief the day. I'm going to write 1 thing that I'm really proud of. I'm going to write 1 thing that I didn't get done so it doesn't wake me up in the middle of the night. We all have a routine so we can attach something to it. So this is a great thing that example. So I started this probably about 6 months ago. I started noticing that I was having just more negative self-talk creep into my head. And I just didn't like it. I didn't like the way it was making me feel. And I really wanted to do something about it. So I told myself, okay, I'm going to do this every, you know, Monday through Friday for like a week and see how I feel. I'm going to put on like a daily affirmation on my phone or on YouTube or whatever. And while I brush my teeth, which you brush your teeth for what, like two and a half minutes, I'm going to listen to it, right? 2.5 minutes a day. So every time I put my toothpaste on my toothbrush, get ready to brush my teeth, I hit play and I'm brushing my teeth and I'm listening to positive affirmations. Well, I just was like, this is so easy, right? I'm already brushing my teeth. Why not do it? And it started to help and it started to help. And now when I'm getting ready in the morning, I just have the affirmations playing the entire time, not just when I'm brushing my teeth. Just because I like it, it makes me feel good. And I know it's helping rewire my brain in a different way. So something so simple like brushing your teeth, you can attach a habit to it. When I listen to a podcast, it makes me feel good. When I listen to affirmations, or every day when I'm putting on my makeup, I want to say one amazing thing about myself. I'm so strong and you're healing and you're so, your body's so healthy. You know exactly, your body knows exactly how to heal. You know, really strong affirmations like that. So really consider habit stacking. It's such a successful way to get your goals met by really not expending a lot of energy around it, if that makes sense. And the goal is to make those habits automatic, right? To put them on autopilot. So when we attach it to a habit that's already in place, it becomes non-optional. It's not negotiable. You're already doing it because you're doing the original habit. Okay, number 5, build systems and not willpower. This is very important. Your environment matters more than discipline, right? If you are someone that's like, I want to cook more at home, I want to lose weight, though that's the New Year's resolution for 2026. Well, how you set your environment up is going to set you up for success or set you up for failure. Willpower will run out no matter what. What does that mean? It means, okay, well, one day a week, I'm going to prep protein. I'm going to make sure I have easy protein available for me in the refrigerator because I know when I get hangry, I'm going to go for the chips. I'm going to go for the nuts. I'm going to go for something that's not going to fill me up in the right way, or the granola or something. So prep protein, maybe keep supportive foods visible, pre-make some chia pudding, pre-make some Greek yogurt parfaits. Also create routines that make healthy choices the easy choice, the easy one to go for. When, if you are hungry and you want to lose weight, instead of going to the pantry, if you open up your fridge and you see hard-boiled eggs already made, you have ground chicken that's ready to throw into a bowl or into a salad, you have sliced apples and veggie sticks for something really crunchy and good, you have pre-made Greek yogurt where you can just eat it while you're on a call or while you're walking. This is your environment setting you up for success. If none of that is prepped, if none of that is in place, you're going to go into the pantry, you're going to eat the chips, you're going to eat whatever is in there, cookies or snack, or just like go for a pickle. Like everybody just goes in the fridge and grabs a pickle. It's not a bad choice, but eating something with protein, fat, and fiber in it is going to stabilize your blood sugar. It's going to help you lose weight and it's going to keep you satisfied and give you the energy that you need. If you're somebody that's always crashing around 3 p.m., if you work from home and you're like, oh my gosh, it's almost like clockwork at 3 p.m., I want a piece of chocolate, or I'm going for the chocolate-covered pretzels, have something prepped in your fridge and absolutely go for that. And I promise you, you will see a difference, you will feel a difference, and your waistline will have a difference as well. Okay. Set your environment up to help you succeed instead of fail. And remember too that missing a day does not mean failure, right? It means you're human. I think people, especially in January, we have all this pressure on ourselves. Like nobody's expecting you, if your goal is to lose weight, no one's expecting you to eat clean 100% for 365 days. Number one, it's not realistic. Number two, you're human and not a robot. Number three, things come up and progress isn't linear, right? We're never on a linear road up. We are like this. It's a constant up and down roller coaster heading in the right direction, but you're going to have obstacles. You're going to slip off. The only failure is quitting, okay? So we have to get out of the mindset of all or nothing. And I know the perfectionists out there, the type A's out there, it's hard. I am that. I can very easily slip into an all or nothing mindset. But let me tell you something. If you expect not to have any failures, mistakes, or slipbacks as you're starting any kind of new habit or new resolution, you're also setting yourself up to fail mentally and emotionally. If you go out and you have pizza, you're watching football, you know, you have a beer or something like that, and it's one day out of the entire week in one meal, that doesn't mean you failed. That means you are creating balance in your life because you know the next day you're going to wake up, you're going to go back to your normal breakfast, you're going to support your body, you're going to go for a walk, you're going to drink your water. That is how we make changes happen. That's how we don't start over every Monday, because I know what can happen. You have the pizza, you're watching football, and you think to yourself, oh my God, what did I just do? I had this pizza. I'm trying so hard in January to eat clean. I can't believe I just did that. Well, I already had the pizza. I might as well have the mozzarella sticks. And I might as well just look at the dessert menu because, like, fuck it. I just threw the towel in and you go ham on all the food. It doesn't need to be that way. You can have something. You can have a slip back. You can have balance. You can have the 80-20 rule in your lifestyle without you feeling like you're failing or like you're ruining your progress, because I promise you, you're not. So give yourself grace, right? Hold yourself accountable, but know that there's going to be birthday parties. There's going to be nights out. There's going to be times where you don't eat perfectly. You're human. You're not supposed to, and that's okay. Our bodies are resilient. What we're doing 80 to 90% of our time is really what builds the foundation of our body, not the one-offs that we're doing 10% or 20% of the year. That's not what's going to make or break all of the progress. So please, please keep that in mind. Get rid of the all or nothing mentality. Give yourself grace and tell yourself, I'm doing the best that I can every single day. Take the overwhelm out, okay? So now some people might be thinking, well, I don't even know what to focus on this year. I don't know what my goals or my habits or my resolutions should be. So let me help you kind of focus in too. Instead of choosing, you know, a variety of things or 10 different goals, just choose one meaningful focus, right? Ask yourself those questions that I mentioned earlier. Where am I feeling depleted? What would make my day feel a little easier? What does my body or my mind need support with right now? You know, where does my day feel hard? Where am I really struggling? Again, sit down with those questions and really think about them. Take the entire month, observe yourself, observe your routine. What do I want to change? What's working? What's not working? Jot it down in a journal, jot it down in the notes section of your phone. And this is great information for you to choose and to make goals off of. Because one aligned goal or one aligned focus beats 10 overwhelming goals every time, okay? You don't need pressure to change. You don't need fear and you don't need extremes. You need safety, consistency, and support. Healing, whether physical, mental, or emotional, or even metabolically with your body, doesn't happen in survival mode, right? We can't bully ourselves into it. If we're sitting here thinking, oh gosh, I have to do everything perfect and create this overwhelm and this fear, and I gotta work out every single day, and I gotta do this and drink all this water and eat all the protein and all the fiber, it just becomes so overwhelming and it puts our body in survival mode. And we cannot heal in survival mode. We can't lose weight in survival mode. None of that can happen. We need to regulate our nervous system and really focus on consistency, slowing down, focusing on what our body actually needs. Okay. So as January progresses, I want you to keep these things in mind. When you want your habits to stick, these are the tools that you go towards to help them stick. Don't be afraid to slow down. Don't be afraid to not know what to do. Don't let the January rush of what everyone's doing on social media and your family and your friend circles, it's all great. They always say, right, the gyms are so packed in January and maybe in February, and then they go back to normal because people go gung-ho, you know, and go to the extreme the first 4 to 6 weeks, and it's just too much to maintain and it falls off. As a coach, I can tell you to create long, sustainable changes, These are the techniques that I use with my clients and with myself. I know exactly what works and what doesn't work. Slowing down, choosing meaningful goals, focusing on what's missing in your life, right? Not fixing yourself, but really looking at it in a realistic way. Okay, this also, I want to take the pressure off you guys. It doesn't need to be the best year in the world or the most productive year. It can be your most aligned year. It could be the year that you just get serious about slowing down and listening to yourself, or get serious about committing to yourself and creating a better environment with yourself, right? It can be your most supported year, your most sustainable year, and just a year where you're doing one thing for yourself to make yourself happy. Just choose one habit, give yourself time, and let change unfold instead of forcing it, right? And just remember that January is just the beginning. It's not a deadline. I promise you, if you circle back with a lot of your friends or family or anybody that you're talking to, hey, how are those 10 New Year's goals or resolutions that you made going? By March, they're going to be like, what? What goals? Oh, yeah. You know what? It felt really hard. Or I tried to, but then I had to travel for work. So I just figured, like, screw it. I'm going to try again next year. That's people that are being set up to fail, not having correct environments, having an all or nothing mindset, and not knowing how to really implement healthy habits in life and making them stick. Now you've listened to this podcast, so now you know better, and I expect you guys to do better with this information. Take at least one or two of the points that I made today and start putting them into place. I would love to hear from you what your goals are this year, what you really want to focus on. Please drop them in the YouTube comments below. I would love, love, love to hear them and support you guys in any way. And even when I see your comments on the YouTube comment section, I can even base some of my podcast off those. If you're like, I really want to learn more about nervous system regulation, like what does that mean? How does that work with stress? Great. Let me do a podcast on that. I have great guests that I can bring on that can really describe how to bring your nervous system down, how to get out of fight or flight, how to get into the rest and digest. So even your comments give me more direction on how I can help you going forward. Okay. Also, before we end the podcast, I want to make a note. If your goal is something as simple as like, I want to put one cancer preventative tool in place, I got you. I have so much information on that. Go back to the other podcasts and take a look. Go to my Instagram at revival.health.wellness. Take a look at all the videos on there. I literally help you make changes every single step of the way and try to show you the way to do it with good swaps and with great tools. And if you ever have questions, feel free to reach out. This podcast is just as much yours as it is mine, and I'm here to help you in 2026 in every way possible. One of my goals this year is to use this platform to knock the socks off of every kind of cancer myth, cancer preventative service out there, to really bring you good tools, good speakers, good people, good resources to support you every step of the way in your cancer journey and your prevention journey, or just to be more healthier humans at the end of the day. So thank you guys for kicking off the new year with me. Love you so much, and I will see you soon.